Our true crime podcast deals with sensitive issues, including some that little ears shouldn't hear. Listener discretion is advised.
This is Cam.
And I'm Jen.
And you're listening to
Our True Crime Podcast.
Hi, I'm Joel.
And I'm Phil, and we're the co-hosts of Florida Men, a true crime comedy podcast.
Each week on Florida Men, we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
Stories with headlines like
Florida Man carrying live alligator chases people in a convenience store.
And Florida Woman calls 911 on a possum.
You can find Florida Men on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Hi, I'm Lainey, host of the True Crime Fan Club podcast, and I'm excited to tell you about my brand new podcast called It's Haunted, What Now? It's a podcast that brings you true stories about haunted objects and the owners who unknowingly welcome them into their lives. Join me as I share these creepy, spooky, and downright terrifying stories. You can find It's Haunted, What Now? On your favorite podcatcher or at hauntedpod.com.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Camille. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, good. Hold on. Let's readjust there. Yeah. Unless you scoot it up.
I know. I can't. I needed to be closer because it's supposedly our sound's
Can
bad.
Can I get close to you?
Closer.
Just like me.
They long to be close to you.
All right, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Karen Carpenter, I ain't.
Oh, that's for sure.
So, what you got? We got people to give some shout-outs to, I hear?
We have a bunch of people to give shout-outs to.
I love that. I don't know if listeners know, but usually we kind of are a little bit busy, so we tend to record a few episodes at a time. Then we store them up. Some episodes have shout-outs and some don't, and that is why. So let's hear it.
First shout-out. Last week we had Kiki, I believe.
Kiki.
I think it's Kai Kai7301. Thank you so much.
I would say Kai Kai.
I think she even follows us on Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah, we are on Instagram.
We are.
We are. I'm too old to really figure out how it works. So.
Hey, so if somebody's young out there and then they can direct message Jen and tell her how to use Instagram to our advantage, that'd be great.
That would be so cool. Even though Camille works with teenagers and
I think it's just a bunch of hashtag stuff, I think.
Yeah, pictures and stuff.
Yeah, like a picture, but then you hashtag it. I don't know.
We don't know. We're too old. We don't understand it.
I'm going to cut that all out because we sound really old.
We do. I wouldn't cut it out or at least put it in. Outtakes.
You're old. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, whatever. Also, big shout out to Lori. God love her. She is on.
Lori is the podcast listening machine.
She is. On Twitter, she is always showing what she's listening to.
Always.
Always.
So if you hit a dry spell and need something to listen to, look her up, follow her.
DM us and we'll set you up with her.
I wonder if somebody could get paid for that, because if they could, she should do that.
She should. She get. Should, yeah.
Listen and professionally
she
listen.
She should get paid a lot for it. She is awesome.
We'll campaign for that. Lori in 2019.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Another one I would love to give a shout out, and I totally love everything you have to put on the Twitter, but I curse you because I have to say this name out loud, and that would be Dick Vane.
Jennifer loves the love from Dick Vane.
Dick Vane is awesome.
Jennifer loves Dick Vane.
Dick Vane is awesome.
I think a lot of people like Dick Vane.
I know you've had more than your fair share of Dick Vane.
I hate you.
But it's all good. He is totally awesome.
Or she.
I hope everything goes well with you and your wife. And
what if it is it a boy? It could be a girl.
It could be, but I'm assuming it's
maybe
a
not.
Gentleman.
Like just a funny name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he's changed it from something else, okay. But
it's a boy.
It is a boy.
Oh, okay.
He and his. I just hope everything goes well with you and your wife buying the house.
Oh. So you know who it is. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Also, big shout out to Melanie.
Melanie.
She's another Twitter girl. Love her. There's Ariel Fires.
Ariel
She's also
Fires.
Twitter. And Mary Jo, you might not have shouted out to us, but I see you. I know you're out there.
Is that Mary Jo Buttafuoco?
No, much more attractive than Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
Oh, okay.
Also, let's see, who else? Oh, Psycho Billy.
Oh, Psycho Billy. Valium is hard. I mean, Siri, do you know every single time there's an issue?
There is. We are not technically inclined.
And we've tried. We've sought professional help. Seriously.
We have, but
it sounds okay.
Yeah.
And then one time Jen had a problem and it wasn't playing in her car. I went to my car. It was perfectly fine. And then the other day she played this newest episode in her car and said it sounded fine. And then I played it in mine and I thought the sound was low.
Yeah. So we have no idea what we're doing, but thank you for the shout out. And if anybody can help us, call us.
I told Jen today, turn up the mics full. And she said,
they have been.
They're up as loud as they go.
Mics are on as loud as they can.
If you know me, I'm very loud.
Oh, Lord, she's
loud. Not me.
Also, I think that's it for now.
No, it's not. Glenn thinks stuff.
Oh, Glenn thinks stuff.
I love him.
He's awesome. He's so funny.
I love him. He makes me spit laugh sometimes.
Oh.
And just because I kind of think that kind of stuff a lot, too. Just random thoughts.
Huh. Is there a love connection, Camille?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Awesome. And also other podcasters that we absolutely enjoy is Mythical Podcast.
Yay, Mythical Podcast, the narrator.
She's awesome. And then Heartland Homicide.
Heartland Homicide. The,
and then
those are our neighbors.
Said, God damn.
Can you do that again, please?
I said, God damn.
Oh, Lord.
They're awesome chicks, girls, women. They're awesome women.
They're awesome people.
I can say women. They are women. Forgot there's Anu. She is Anu. And she's from Hawaii. So I just want to warn her, get the couch ready. Because when Camille and I visit, that's where you'll be sleeping. Because we're going to take over your bed.
Oh, well, hey, you said it.
Yeah.
It's your fault. You made friends with us.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, anyway, thank you guys so much for all your love
you.
And your support. And we totally dig it. So please, everyone.
Continue. We love, you know, we like to hear that. The good, the bad, and Jennifer's ugly.
Yeah, Jennifer's ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and comes back to you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
So this is our Halloween episode.
Woo, Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
We had grandiose plans on what to do, and then life kind of struck.
Got in the way.
And
next year we need to record a Halloween episode in like July. You know, we can fake it, right?
We do every night, so yeah.
I'm going to punch you. Mm-hmm.
So
anyway, we...
We threw this together.
We're still throwing it together.
We're still throwing it together. So what about our Halloween special, Camille?
So we kind of struggled about what to do, and we thought, you know what? We're just going to kind of wing it. Kind of just have a little chat session. We picked some Halloween stories written by local author, and we're going to read them and share them with you and kind of chit-chat a little bit.
They're kind of local haunting stories since it's Halloween. Maybe not really going with murder here because Halloween's...
But if you became a ghost,
fun.
Just perhaps you were...
Well, they do say that ghosts...
Who's they? The government officials? The people hiding stuff? The big guy at top?
The experts in the paranormal industry say it is more likely to become a ghost if...
You leave this earthly body
permission? No, with like a violent episode.
Okay.
Or people tend to surround their feelings of... No, or people tend to come up with it since it was such a violent murder that they just assume that there should be a ghost.
Oh, I see.
If you don't believe in ghosts, there's always that folklore around it was a violent death. Mm-hmm. We'll make it.
Perfect segue.
As a ghost.
Perfect segue, Jen. So, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in magic?
I think I do.
Okay, why?
Sometimes.
Have you ever seen a ghost, Jen?
I think I have.
Can we hear the story?
Sure. The ghost story, or what I perceive as a ghost, happened when I was younger. I was about 7 or 8, and it didn't happen once. It happened a few times. We had actually built the house. My room was always really dark. One week, or it happened over a series of nights, but I would wake up because I would feel something on my bed with me. And at first I thought it was Heidi, our little schnauzer that we had. And then it would like mess with my feet or whatever. And then I looked up. And every time I looked up, it would be...
You could see it?
I could see it. And it was this, and this is really weird, was a little Japanese girl.
Like full size or like a doll?
A girl. Little girl. Japanese girl. And she was sitting on the edge of my bed. And she was in a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Weird. Blue plaid, white shirt. mm-hmm. like a Catholic schoolgirl. But what was weird is she would look at me and my, like I said, my room was always dark, but she, I could see her clearly because she kind of glowed.
Yeah.
Like white mm-hmm. glow.
Like a mist almost.
No, like she was like glow in the dark, that kind of stuff. You know, like it had some kind of, she looked real to me.
Could you see her features, her face?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, she had like the little bowl cut, cute little bob thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. But I didn't just see her one night. I saw her like maybe 5 or 6 times.
Right.
4 or 5, 6 times, something like that. Nothing ever happened. I was never scared. She would always look at me or move my feet or something.
Ew.
I wasn't scared because my dog wasn't scared.
So your dog would often be with you and yeah, wouldn't my bark dog, or anything?
No.
Hmm.
And this was before she went blind. But no.
And then when did it stop? Do you remember?
No. It just like happened a few times and then that was it.
Huh. And it was a new house. Maybe.
It was a brand new house, but it was by a river and supposedly the energy from water.
Or the subdivision.
Attracts,
I was just thinking if they yeah. built over something they shouldn't have.
Wow. Like a cemetery?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. But there was that. Saw this huge thing at my door, which it could have been a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked like a hunter. He was in like those, like a big plaid jacket,
mm-hmm.
hunting hat,
mm-hmm.
and boots.
Was that at the same house?
Same house at my bedroom door.
At your bedroom door?
Yeah. And I remember being really terrified, but it could have been a cat. Could have been a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not for sure. And I also swore there was some kind of little thing hiding like in my closet. That's like some kind of little...
Like the Trilogy of Terror?
God, no. But I was scared to death because I had all these old dolls. And then my aunt was in the Foreign Service. So she always sent me dolls from all mm-hmm. over the world.
That's why I asked you about that.
And I had a little tiki doll.
I know
like
you did.
That.
I know you did.
And
that's
so
why.
I was always scared to death that that metal would fall off or something, that it would come out. But no, this was like some kind of, I want to say like a, it sounds so stupid now, like a little troll.
I was just
going to
say a troll.
Like some kind of little troll or some kind of little weird fairy elf something.
Hmm.
That would come out of my closet, or I would see it peeking out of my closet.
Oof.
But those were like the only thing. The only thing that really scared me, though, was the man by the door.
And he gave you a scary feeling, but you only saw him once?
But I only saw him once. And it, like I said, it could have totally been a shadow.
Right.
I don't know for sure. Right. I only saw him that once. The little gnomy type thing, I saw him a couple times. He kind of creeped me out, but it wasn't anything
big. You
thought
you probably could just step on him if it came to that.
No, I just was never...
Get it? Because it was little?
Yeah. No, it was bigger than...
It
was like,
step on it.
It was about the size of a 3 or 4 year old.
Oh, person.
Like
that's
yeah.
a person.
Well, but it was a.
I was thinking troll.
It was,
you know,
a
like
little fella.
2 inches, two.
No, that's a troll doll. No.
That's what I meant. Thought
yeah,
you meant
no.
a troll doll.
This is like a little, a little fella.
Oh, he's just a little fella.
Little odd looking fella.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's that. And then when I was older, my mom lived in that haunted. Well, she said it was a haunted house. And I always blamed it because she's deaf in one ear.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, if you suffer from any kind of hearing impairment, like a loss.
A sense impairment. The other ones make up for it. Is that what you're going to say?
No. If it's known that if you kind of have partial hearing loss, mm-hmm. that sometimes you hear things that aren't really there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like so, me in the vents.
Right.
The people talk to me.
Right.
I swear.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
No,
I know.
Know
you make fun of me. I'm not kidding.
But you also have a hearing impairment too. So it could be one of the other. That's what I'm saying. My mom would always hear voices in her house, but she does have a hearing impairment. And one day in my 20s, I was 19 or 20, and I was downstairs in the basement with the guy I was engaged to, but thankfully didn't work out. And we were waiting for my mom and stepdad to come home from their place at the lake of the Ozarks, and we were all going to go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down in the basement. We're sitting there watching TV, and I hear the door open.
Upstairs?
Upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the basement. I hear the door open, and I hear footsteps. So I yell, "Hey, we're downstairs."
Mm-hmm.
No answer, but I still hear footsteps. So I turned to
him.
The guy. I turned to him, and I said, "I'm going to go up and tell him we're here," thinking that they didn't hear us because they're both older.
Right.
My stepdad was basically deaf. So I went upstairs, looked in the bedroom. They weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I looked in the kitchen. They weren't there. I looked out the front door. There wasn't a car there.
Mm-hmm.
I looked to the garage. And there was no car in the garage. And I'm like, shit. Got a little scared. So I went downstairs. And the guy was a police officer. I'm like, "You did hear somebody come in the door, right?" He said, "Yeah. They're not here." And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Okay." So we like sat there for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then he turns to me and goes, "Hey, do you want to get out of here?" And I'm like, "Yeah.
Yeah, let's go."
I think I want to get out of here. But yeah. Never knew what it was. And then when I told my mom, because I never really believed my mom, and then I told her what happened, she goes, see, I told you. I told you. And the provenance of her house was a man built his wife that house. It was her dream house. Mm-hmm. Maybe about 5 years after living in it, she passed away. Mm-hmm. And then after he sold it and my mom and stepfather moved in about a year afterwards, he passed away.
Oh, so they was hanging out there in their dream house a little bit. Maybe?
I don't know. My mom always said it sounded like there was a party. She heard the two men talking. She couldn't make out what it was, but it was definitely two men speaking. She'd also heard piano playing.
Could be. I don't know.
So weird. Very strange stuff. What about you?
I don't think I've ever seen a ghost. I've always wanted to, but then I'm a big chicken, so I think that'd be a problem.
Mm-hmm. You'd pee your pants.
I probably would, but I don't know. I don't know. I would like to just because I think it would be make for a good story, and I don't know.
Anyway. But have you experienced ghosts or anything odd that you can't explain?
I've never really seen ghosts, per se. I've had a few things happen that were kind of odd or weird, but, you know, I don't know. I think that most of us try to rationalize everything, but I also think sometimes things are just, they just happen. I don't know. Who knows? And we don't know. And then when we find out,
it's too late to
can't come back and tell anybody.
Right.
Or we could, but nobody would believe us. So for instance, my mom's grandmother raised her and I'm her namesake. I was named after her. And my mom was pregnant with me. And this was, I believe it was like in August of the year that we were both born, right? So it was like 2 months before.
Was before there was like
electricity, yes.
And cars.
So my mom and my dad and my older sisters would always go visit her and stay the weekend with her. And most of the time she would, when they did that, then my great-grandmother would come home with my mom. Mm. And this weekend, for some reason, they packed up the car, packed up the kids, and they just assumed she was coming with them. And so she told my mom that she couldn't come, that she had something to do. And my mom was like, you don't have anything to do. You're an elderly woman with no job, you know, whatever. Mm. And she's like, no, I really need to stay here. There's something I need to do. And that week she was walking into town and she did not have a hearing problem. She wasn't hard of hearing. And she would often take the railroad tracks into town and she was ran over and killed by a train.
Wow.
And my mom is positive that she knew that that was going to happen. And that's why she's dead behind.
Wow.
So, and then of course I was born 2 months later and they were convinced I was reincarnated from her.
Of course.
But you know, then again at age four, my sister thought I was the exorcist too. So there's that.
She still thinks that.
She does. Mm-hmm. Well, she had snuck out and saw it in the movie theaters and she wasn't supposed to. She wasn't old enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you just gave your age.
Guess I did figure out the math there, people.
Nobody's smart enough for that math.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I know there are people that the really big scientifical people.
They're smart people.
Them smart people that are very analytical, like my husband. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But even though I may believe in it, I mean, I'm always kind of on the fence. Almost everything can be proven
or scientifically, explained. Right? Or explained, yeah.
You can say it. There's rarely anything that goes unexplained.
Yes.
But it's still fun to be scared.
I love
or
to
at
be
least
scared.
I think so.
I agree.
I mean, I love to go to haunted houses, like the big pay, the big freak haunted house things, you know what I'm saying? I love that, but I get so scared that as I go around the corner, I'm always like, I know you're going to jump at me, but please. Yeah, but I love it. Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite thing. I love to be scared. And I love reading ghost stories. And I think also people love it because nobody really wants their loved ones to die. They always want
I think
them
it's
to
comforting to think that they're still around. They're still watching, right? I think that helps a little bit.
I think so, too. Which usually people do. Yeah.
All right. So what story you got for us, Jen?
I have one of my favorite stories from one of Jim Longo's first book, Haunted Odyssey, and it's about a place, used to be a restaurant, just right outside of Edwardsville, called the 3 Mile House.
Mm. Is it still around?
Well,
the building, I mean?
No.
Okay, the building's gone.
No,
okay.
And that's part of the story, but I will tell you. It was a very popular restaurant in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Huge. So basically, Jim Longo had heard about this 3 Mile House, so he wanted to go and meet the owners who had owned the house. And he drove out. It's right outside of Edwardsville, which is in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And he found the 3 Mile House. Mm-hmm. And he described it as the quintessential Hollywood haunted house.
Oh, cool.
I'll put the only picture of it that I can find online. He called it the quintessential Hollywood house, and it was three stories, and it was dark and gloomy and just ugly. Windows had been shattered. Doors were nailed shut. You know, and his first impression was, well, if it's not haunted, it probably should be.
So this was past its heyday.
This was past its heyday.
Okay, gotcha.
Basically, when he was speaking to the previous owners, they had said that... the first time they ever saw the 3 Mile House, they were out for a drive. Mm-hmm. And the husband was mm-hmm. like, you know, my dream was always to find this huge place mm-hmm. and turn it into a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So one day they were out on a drive and they came across this house. And he's like, this would be perfect. Absolutely perfect. And they talked about it years. They talked about it and then just decided it wasn't in the cards or anything like that. They couldn't do it. And then they forgot about it for mm-hmm. some more. Not about 4 years after that, a real estate agent knocked on their door.
The couple.
To the house that they were at. Mm-hmm. They're the Elliots. The Elliots owned it. Knocked on the Elliots door and said, I want to buy your house. And they're like, okay. They gave them a huge offer. Mm-hmm. Like an offer you can't refuse, right? It paid them
way over what it was about.
Right. So they talked about it. They talked about it over with the family. They had two daughters and they decided to sell. The real estate agent talked with them about how their dreams about wanting to open up a restaurant, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Real estate agent took them out looking for places. They were shocked because they turned on this road that looked vaguely familiar. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they pulled up to the 3 Mile House. And they were shocked. I mean, they couldn't believe that it was the same house. And the real estate agent said, you know what? This is the perfect place because it had such a bunch of history to it. Mm-hmm. It had been a stagecoach stop. Mm-hmm. It had been a station on the Underground Railroad.
Oh, cool.
It had been a post office, a tavern, a restaurant, an inn. It had all this history. Supposedly, Abraham Lincoln stayed there in 1850. I mean, is an old place. And then he laughed. The agent laughed and said, you know, and supposedly there's a ghost or two in the attic. <Of course. laughs> It had been 12 years since anybody had even lived in the place. So they were...
repairs and...
needed. It was almost in ruin, they mm-hmm. said. Mm-hmm. And they almost didn't do it. But there's just something nagging at them that they just had to go mm-hmm. and buy this house. So they decided to do it. They just picked up and they went into the new home. They made it their home and opened it as a restaurant, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Not that long ago.
No, 77, yeah. Around 70, mid-70s, I'd say. Quote was, at the time, we had no idea how the 3 Mile House and its ghost would change our lives.
Oof, spooky. Mm-hmm.
He said the moving day was really hectic, but they were really excited, but there was a ton of work to be done and they tried not to get, you know, discouraged. So Lori, the oldest daughter, was 15, and she was the first to have actually anything happen to her. While she was bringing in this huge box and she was taking it downstairs.
This was like on moving day something happened?
This was on moving day.
Oh, it's a bad sign.
She was taking this big, bulky box downstairs, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, a brick was thrown and hit her leg.
And she was on the stairs?
She was on the stairs. And she Spooky. Said that it seemed that it had just come out of the air by itself. Nothing was there. So what she did, God bless her, 15, smart girl, she put down the box. And she said that since she had heard that the house was haunted, mm-hmm. they had discussed about it. Mm-hmm. She set ground rules. And she goes, hey, this is our house now, and you have to...
be nice.
Be nice. If you want to stay here, mm-hmm. you're more than welcome, but it's our house, our rules.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That kind of stuff. Uh-huh.
Brave.
Brave. Very brave.
I'd be like, see ya.
I would not be. I'd be a little scared, but I'd want to see what was going on, too.
Yeah.
But I would also use that as an excuse not to bring in any boxes in the house.
Something touched me in there. I can't.
I can't go back in. You guys are done. After everything's... Yeah. The next year, basically, they had to spend redoing the house because, like I said, it was near ruin. So it was backbreaking work. They were doing everything by themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had to put in modern plumbing. They had to repair everything. Floors. Right.
Windows,
walls,
I can imagine.
Everything. And while they were cleaning, they actually found tunnels underneath the cellar. And the tunnels went every direction. And there was also bricked up secret rooms
that they had found under the backyard. Yeah.
And they'd figured that they were probably hiding places because the secret rooms that were found and everything, mm-hmm. that it was hiding places for slaves mm-hmm. during the Underground Railroad. But they also would see sparks of light.
Orbs.
Or orbs that would dart back and forth every
like in
night.
Front of their
inside
eyes?
Or outside. Yeah.
Oof.
And at first they thought it was like lightning bugs or fireflies, mm-hmm, depending mm-hmm. on which side of the Mason-Dixon you're from. But it would happen in any weather. Mm-hmm. And they even had electricians come out and they couldn't even explain what the flashing lights were. Or, mm-hmm. you know. And they had the other daughter, Lynn. She was 13. She would always swear that she had shadows darting and chasing her about the room. Lori decided to have some friends over mm-hmm. and do mm-hmm. the oldest daughter. Yeah.
Nope.
They decided to do a seance in the attic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to turn out great.
Within setting up everything in the third floor, loud bangings began to happen and wouldn't stop. And so, of course, everybody ran. All her friends
yep.
ran screaming down.
Hey, Mom, come get me.
Going. And honestly, they said that it sounded like the floor was just going to give way and everybody was going to crash down to the ground. So they ran screaming downstairs. And after that, then they pretty much said that, yeah, the house is haunted. Honestly, it would have just taken me after the brick was thrown at me.
I wonder if her friends came over again.
I don't know. Didn't say.
Be like,
I would be.
Not going over there.
At the time, you know, the darting shadows, sparks of light, and the loud bangings. It was just a usual event, and they got used to it, and nobody was bothered by it except, of course, their pets. Their pets didn't like it. In October of 1977, Mr. Elliot had claimed that he had never really been scared of the house before.
But that's going to change, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Where he and his wife were sleeping, mm-hmm. and for some reason, he woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said the room had been lit with only, like, the full moon. He saw at the foot of his bed, the light was kind of blocked a little bit, and there was a massive figure. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and he looked closely, and he could tell it was about, like, a 300-pound, big, well over 6 feet tall, black man. And he was wearing, like, gray Levi's-type work pants and a gray work shirt. He was reminded of the Incredible Hulk.
Oh.
That the guy was so massive. And he was terrified because he thought it was a burglar. And they were so far out in the country mm-hmm. that, you know, no one can hear you scream.
That's spooky.
Yeah, right? So he was terrified that he saw this burglar. He mm-hmm. knew for sure it was a burglar. And he's like, he was so scared he couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. He couldn't scream. He was in shock and he was just waiting to be hurt or murdered or whatever. But that never happened. And he's like, finally, this person turned around and just left the room. So he said, then he slowly got out of bed and climbed out the bedroom window. And he's like, I was so scared. He was going to jump like 15 feet down, which I kind of find this funny because his wife was still in bed with him. But that's just a different story.
Like, save yourself.
Exactly. So he was outside and it was about 15, you know, he was going to jump off this window. And then he said he finally came to his senses, got control, went back into the room and got his gun.
Hmm.
And he searched the whole house, you know, freaked out about what could happen, which is actually kind of dangerous. I mean, wow. To do while scared, but you're going to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So he searched the house and he couldn't find anything. He could not find anybody in the house. He couldn't find any doors that would
unlocked.
Be open,
right.
Windows, nothing. So he said, finally, he sat down. And when he woke up the next morning, he still had his gun in his lap. He told his wife about the prowler and they had a long talk about.
I bet you she saw him before, didn't she?
About whether to tell the girls or not.
Oh.
They couldn't decide whether to tell him, but finally when they did, the oldest Lori said, oh yeah, that's Herman.
Oh.
He's harmless.
Oh.
And I see him all the time. And he was just probably trying to communicate with you. And the dad goes, well, he picked a hell of a lot.
Hell of a time.
A hell
right?
of a way to communicate. Next time, just tell him to pick up the phone to call me. And Lori said that she would talk to him about it. He asked Lori if, you know, she had talked to Herman.
Yeah.
And she laughed. She's like, not only have I spoken with him, but now he's afraid of you. Every time Mr. Elliot would come in a room and Herman was there, he'd like run.
Yeah.
He was scared.
Aww. Mm-hmm. Herman.
So the girls were quick to say, you know, it was okay. The house is haunted. They were fine with everything, but Mr. and Mrs. Elliot was a bit scared. Mm-hmm. Mr. Elliot was still working full time at his job, and he was also working full time trying to get this house together because they wanted to get it listed on the National Register of Historic Places, mm-hmm. which they did get up doing. And he was so tired that getting up in the morning was getting difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just exhausted physically, emotionally, the whole time. He would oversleep for mm-hmm. work all the time. And
right.
he was always late. And finally got to where his boss said, you know what? If you're late one more time, you're out of here.
All right.
You're gone. Because obviously that's, you've got to run a business. So at the time he was really upset and kind of depressed a little bit because he had so much on his plate to do anything.
Overwhelming.
He said he would fall asleep with his clothes on for the next morning.
Aww.
So if he overslept, he could just hop up and go. Right? One night when he was really anxious, he set the alarm to wake up. He fell asleep and he said the next thing he knew, early the next morning, he heard the sweetest voice he ever heard that said, "Wake up, get up," and would call his name. Woke up, he thought it was his wife, and but then he realized that the voice was different, and it sounded like a little girl. It was like, he said it was just so beautiful, and it was almost angelic. And then he looked over to his wife, and she was still asleep, and then he realized what time it was, so he hurried up and jumped up. He rushed to work, and he wasn't late, which is good. In fact, he was actually early. He said that he was so early that everybody was so happy that all the rest of the workers, his co-workers, like cheered that he made it on time. And the next morning, it happened again. And then, and it kept happening. And then one day, the voice woke him up and he kind of rolled over and went back to sleep. And the voice kept calling me. And then I felt somebody kind of tugging at me and rocking me until I woke up.
So that was a good ghost.
So it was a good ghost. And he named her Sarah.
I would have named her Alarm Clock.
Well, here's the fun thing. He named her Sarah. And for the entirety that they stayed in the house, she would wake him up every morning. And he really never told anybody about her because nobody had ever...
That'd be kind of hard to explain to your friends.
And he wasn't sure to ask if he should talk to his daughters about her or anything. So he... And then he pretty much knew that that's, you know, the ghost. And then he asked Sarah to materialize for him. She was so sweet and he wanted to know what she looked like and all that kind of stuff. But she never did.
Okay, good.
After he did ask her this and she never appeared, he did hear the oldest girls hear her door slam. So he went down to Lynn's room and he asked just slyly if she'd ever seen Sarah or the little girl he calls Sarah. And she said no, but she has woken me up several times.
Oh, she's like the house alarm clock.
And Lynn said the same thing. A beautiful voice, just very angelic. And when those days that Sarah did wake her up, she would like be in a great mood all day long. So, and funny, later when this house was getting pretty public about its ghost and everything, psychics all over the world would come and visit this 3 mile house. And they would come separately. And each one always described of seeing a pretty blonde-haired little girl, about 9. Her name was Celia. She worked at the house when it was an inn, right? And her job was to wake up the lodgers every morning. So she was still doing her jobs.
I know. It's kind of cute.
It is kind of cute. It's sweet. And, you know, when these psychics came in, they never described.
Several of them said the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Elliots never told them, well, this happened, you know, kept his stuff. So finally, the Elliots have completed all the
renovations.
Everything's good. They're going to open it up as a restaurant. It became a national landmark. They're going to open a restaurant, and that's when Mrs. Elliot got really scared that the ghosts were going to scare away the customers.
I can see you.
I could see that.
The first night before the customers came in, heavy chairs were being dragged away from the tables, and they began rocking back and forth. And
that'd be a little hard to explain.
Dishes started to move in the china cabinets, but as soon as the first guests entered, the dining room, it just totally stopped. Everything became quiet. They all were relieved. At first, the ghosts were only active around the family. Then they started to perform to the restaurant workers. And then they were teasing the customers. So one woman who was supposedly well-dressed and educated complained about the noisy china cabinet. And they're like, well, you know, I'm sorry, but sometimes when a train comes by, it'll rattle the dishes. And she goes, oh, no, these aren't rattling. These are moving in the china cabinet.
How'd she know that?
She sat by the china cabinet.
Scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And she goes, you know, the only thing I could tell her was, you know, I apologize because it's just an active night. You know, they're just, the ghosts are doing what ghosts do. Another set of customers complained that every time they would try to eat, their dishes would move.
That's a new kind of diet, actually. Yeah. It might work out pretty good.
And then the waitresses. Now, this could I've never been a waitress, but I know I'd make a really bad one. They kept saying that they would have trouble delivering all the drinks because the glasses kept tipping over. But it could be just clumsy waitresses, too. You never know. By then, they were getting restaurant reviews.
We would be first in line for that. Let's be honest, right?
Well, at the beginning, nobody knew that it was a haunted restaurant. The Alton Telegraph newspaper wrote an article that they called Spirited Restaurant Has One Non-Paying Guest. And then another reporter mentioned that she had heard that the Three Mile House was haunted and then added quickly that she didn't believe such a thing. And once she had said that...
That's what I was going to say. Bad things are going to happen to the non-believers.
A huge ornamental clock that they had just began to start ringing. It bonged. And then when she looked, she realized that the hands were still in the same position. Newspapers kept writing about the house and telling about the ghost, and people started to come from all over. Even Robert Mitchum's son came.
Oh, the actor?
Uh-huh. Chris. I guess he's a psychic.
I didn't know that.
But like I said earlier, all these psychics came from all over to investigate the house separately, and each one told stories that were remarkably similar
to other ones,
to everyone. Yeah. So out of maybe, 20 psychics come, they all told basically the same story. Actually, the psychics told them that not only did they have one or two ghosts in the house, they actually had 12 and a half ghosts that lived there.
What's the half?
The half spirit was a woman who was only visible from the waist up, and she had long blonde hair. And always appeared to be in a panic state.
Yeah, because she's missing her legs. Mm-hmm. What happened?
I don't know. Didn't say.
Is that a thing? Like, do ghosts, say if you lost something in your human body life, do you not have it when you're a ghost?
I don't know.
Huh. I, for one, would be angry because if I lost it here on Earth, I would hope that when I pass over, I want it back.
Well, supposedly, if you go into the afterlife, you get to pick what age you want to...
Thank you!
In your early 20s when everything's up where it's supposed to be and not falling down. Yeah. But anyway, the psychics also told Doug that Herman, the big black slave, his name was really Tom. Mm. And that he was kind of the unofficial leader of all the spirits. And he was a runaway slave that had been brutally murdered underneath the tunnels of the house.
Who murdered him?
We don't know. But it says that his spirit wasn't at rest because he was deeply religious and he had never received a Christian burial. So that would just make me want to go down and try to do something to bury him. No, he was supposedly killed downstairs and they just did whatever to his body.
Or threw him out?
Or did something. Got rid of him. Didn't give him the Christian burial. Didn't give him last rites.
We should go over there and help Herman Tom out.
Poor guy. They said that they were so touched by that and they loved Tom so much that they actually looked for a grave. But there were so many tunnels underground that they weren't able to find anything. Actually, even the newspaper caught up with them and said, "Man searches for body of ghost downstairs so spirit can rest." Other psychics told stories that another resident was a lady in black who caught her fiancé with another woman and shot them both and then hung herself in the attic. Mm. And when they went downstairs, one psychic told other stories. There was also a Civil War Army deserter who had hung himself on one of the plaster beams. And sure enough, on one of the plaster, there was what they could make out. Somebody put "died here" and then 18, and that's all they could make out. There was also a spirit of an Irishman with a brown derby hat. It said, but they did say that there is one thing that was really disgusting that happened in the house. So this kind of gets into our murdery here.
Do tell.
Well, they said that when the house was a hotel for travelers, many stopped and stayed the night, but they never left.
I knew you were going to. It's like Hotel California.
They were murdered and dropped through a trap door by the hotel barber who regularly slit the customers' throats for their money.
Oh.
Then he dropped them through the floor and then buried them in the old Underground Railroad tunnels.
Nobody caught on to that.
Well, it was way out in the country. I mean, in 1970s, this place was still way out in the country.
I know, but hey, Mildred, I'm going to go get my hair trimmed. Okay, sweetheart, I'll see you when you get home.
Yeah, but you're on the stagecoach and you're going through Midwest traveling. And you're traveling, so you just nobody get lost knows.
There. I got you.
What's going on, right?
Was his name Todd?
Me, Todd, that's exactly who I thought of. Don't eat the meat pies at Three Mile House. One of these gentlemen that this barber slit the throat said that he wasn't quite dead and ended up being buried alive. That it just, the fall knocked him out.
Ugh.
And he ended up being buried alive. And supposedly he haunts the house too. Oh, the tunnels were also supposed to be a huge burial ground for women and children slaves that were lured there for freedom, but they were murdered.
So in the tunnels, they're tunnels, right? So they're not burial spots. So did they just get lost in there and then just let them die or like?
No, they would bury them in the tunnels. Supposedly, well, you know, St. Louis has a bunch of tunnels. This house had tons of tunnels also, and they couldn't search all of them. And there were so many of them and they went quite a ways.
Okay.
And they were probably fairly dangerous to go under, being over 100 years old. A lot of these men, women, and children sought refuge for the Underground Railroad. Mm-hmm. But the women and children were killed, and the men were sold back in slavery.
It's terrible.
It's awful. But not all of them had tragic lives, like little Sarah or Celia.
Little cutie pie.
Yeah, she was happy. You know, all the psychics basically said that there was nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. And that if the spirits would get out of hand, that he would to give orders and they would obey them.
Herman? So, Herman Tom would?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
All the people there.
Oh, the people would. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he said one night that he decided to test the theory because he was upstairs. He was in the living quarters. Mm-hmm. The restaurant was downstairs. So he was in the middle floor and the attic just started to go crazy. He was hearing all bunches of noise and all sorts of stuff. And he finally is like, just go downstairs. Quit making the racket and go downstairs. And he said within a few seconds, all of a sudden, things started going nuts downstairs. The workers were
screaming,
screaming.
I'd be like,
bolted up the stairs. You know, they said they saw spooky shadows all of a sudden, and it was just mass chaos.
Could you imagine sitting in a restaurant and that happening? That'd be so wicked.
And it was just the workers there. No one else
was.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, none of the customers or anything
there.
It was
just thinking about eating my hamburger and french fries, and then all of a sudden all that, woo.
And, you know, they laugh about it now because it was such a commotion and they never even thought that anything like that would happen, right?
Yeah.
I think that would kind of be funny. And it turned out later that once they got to know all these spirits and whatever, that Tom became the most playful of all of them.
Aw, I like Tom. He's my favorite.
Tom would follow him to Mr. Elliot's job, hang out with him. He would. Mr. Elliot worked on the railroad all the live long day. And he said that while he was working, that he'd have tools disappear and then Reed disappear. And then some days the bell that was on the train would ring by itself. Tom also loved playing with the water in the restaurant, too, that he would, you know.
Wouldn't it be fun to be a ghost? Think about that. So you're a ghost and you walk up and you're like Beetlejuice or whatever, where you'd walk up and like move things and freak out people. That'd
exactly.
Be so
that
fun.
That would be so much fun. It would. Tom also had a thing about water. He liked the faucets and the bathtubs and kitchen. And they said that it would be so frustrating because he would flood the bathrooms. And back in that time, water was really expensive because they had to truck it in because they were just way out in the middle of
nowhere.
So one day, Mrs. Elliot exploded and is like, Tom, just go play somewhere else. Everything was quiet. And for the next few days, nobody had heard from him. And then a few days later, a waitress came in and said, well, it looks like Tom found a new toy.
What was it?
He started playing with the iron-plated antique coffee grinder.
Oh, okay.
And it would make clanking noises and drive everybody crazy.
A little less harmful. Probably scary, though.
Everybody, of course, came to accept the fact that Three Mile House was haunted. Mrs. Elliot remembers one time, you know, the workers were fine. The customers were fine. One day, Mrs. Elliot gets a call from one of their neighbors. She was really upset. And the neighbor goes, I've got one of your people here. And Bev goes, oh, you mean one of my daughters? And the neighbor goes, no, I mean the other kind of people.
It was a ghost.
That's funny. She goes, oh, one of those kind of people. Well, have they hurt you? Have they done anything wrong? And she goes, well, no. And she goes, well, how do you know that they're there? And she goes, she's wearing perfume and I can smell her when she comes into the room. And she goes, and that's when I realized that the perfume lady, I hadn't smelled her in days. So she goes, all right, what you need to do is tell her to go back home. And I need her right away. The neighbor never called again. And she goes, you know, the next day she began to smell perfume in the house again.
That's so weird.
Not only was the family accepting of the ghosts, they really became part of the family and kind of developed a bond with them. Said the oldest, when the oldest was time to go to prom, there was so much activity in the house that she had to shoo them out of her room because she was afraid she was going to step on them or hurt them or they were getting in her way.
They were so excited for her.
Because they seemed so nervous about the evening and they were acting like little brothers and sisters, they said. And then later, they were all really drawn to Lynn. Lynn had started getting really bad leg problems. They were just so painful. She couldn't sleep. Lynn would say that Tom would come and sit with her.
Oh,
and she said she always felt such good strength, sympathy, and support when he was here and just silently communicating with her. Later, Lori decided to go to college in Utah, and she drove to school. And during her trip, there was a really bad blizzard, and a lot of people were killed. A lot of cars stalled or crashed on the highway. But Lori said that she felt really safe on the journey because she felt that some of the spirits were with her and were protecting her. And then when she got to school, she noticed these ghostly patterns that she felt when she was home, you know? The ghost didn't bother her, but one of them moved into one of her neighbor's places.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew this because one of them called Mrs. Elliot and said, "Listen, every time I play rock music on my stereo, it turns off and I can't get it to work again." And then he also said that they would continuously play with his electric typewriter and whistle in his face. Told him once again, be firm and tell him to go to Lori's room where he belongs. They were worried that he would get lost, but a psychic assured them that he would be fine to find his way
back. So he just hitched a ride with Lori on the way to school and then...
kept her safe. I'm assuming it was Tom. I don't know. It never really said for sure who it was, mm-hmm. but Tom seemed like he loved the girls. And within a couple days, they heard their typewriter start typing. So they knew that they were back attached to everybody. And they never felt scared. So the entire 5 years, the family lived at 3 Mile House. They never really felt scared, except for the one night that Tom was at the end of Mr. Elliot's bed.
But
everything else was fine.
Right, right.
But one night, the Elliots went to the movies over in St. Louis. So that's a good drive. So Lynn stayed home and some of the restaurant staff was there with her at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Elliot said right away, she started feeling fidgety and anxious and she just couldn't sit still. And she could only think about Lynn mm-hmm. and just had anxiety about mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when the movie was over, we've got to call home. Once they called home, Lynn said that as soon as they left, that the spirit started to act up and that it was nothing like they had seen before. It began with banging on the floor and it was slow and heavy. And then it got louder and louder until the whole house was like shaking. And
so
she was,
almost
terrified.
Like evil spirits, not the
something
sweet
was
tongue.
Up, okay. Right? So they rushed back home, and by the time they got there, everything had stopped. They sent all the staff home. Later, the staff said that they felt that one of the spirits that was in the house had accompanied them home because they felt very safe and protected, and that nothing like that had ever happened before when the staff had left.
Right.
Nobody had ever complained
about
that.
So I'm thinking
like
an evil spirit came, and
that's what I'm thinking
good ones
too.
Were helping, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So they immediately checked the whole house, and nothing. Everything mm-hmm. seemed okay. They were exhausted. They went to bed, but Lynn was very restless, and she couldn't sleep at all. And at one point, she heard her name being called by this very deep voice, growly voice, called her name. And she got up, and she looked outside, and she's on the second story. Outside her second story window, she saw a grotesque, oddly shaped green face with piercing red eyes that glowed. They dimmed, and then they glowed again.
Mm-hmm.
And was staring directly at her, calling, "Lynn, come here. Lynn, come here."
How's that going?
"Lynn, come here."
That'd be a, "Hey, hon, we're moving."
Yeah.
Call that real estate agent.
She started screaming. Took them forever to calm her down. And they said it was horrible.
Well,
and that was the first time the bad things started to happen at the
Going south.
House. And she said that after that incident, it was the first time they ever thought about leaving that house.
Hmm.
And they loved the place. Mm-hmm. But after that, it would kind of... So the next morning, Lynn drew a picture of the demon, and they showed it to a professor of parapsychology at Washington University. And he said all demons look like that. They're green with red glowing eyes and odd-shaped head. And he didn't really call it an evil spirit, but he said that it had been conjured up by people in the area who were practicing Satanism.
Really? In the house?
In the area.
But how did it end up in the window?
Well, supposedly, ghosts are attracted to ghosts. It's like a...
Is it the bad wanting to take over the good?
No,
maybe they suck
just,
their energy and then it gives them more energy?
It could be that. But supposedly, if you have one house that's active, it's kind of join in, I guess.
I wonder if it's like a hole in the roof, you
like
know?
Like a portal?
Well, like there's a hole in the roof. So, like, you can get in.
But not a literal hole, correct?
No.
Okay. It's like a portal.
Well, yeah, but I'm
right.
Just...
Like it's an open door, an open invitation. There's other spirits here, so they're welcome.
Only if they're nice.
Hey, there's a party. There's a ghost party. All ghosts welcome. They were practicing Satanism in the area and then didn't know how to get rid of it. So then the demon, who's out and about, searches around the area for other psychic activity.
Ugh. Are we going to get possessed by talking about all this today?
We could.
No. We're at your house, and I'm going to give the address because nope.
Well, it says
they can all stay here with you.
Right. But he also says, but the reason why the ghost or this demon is outside is because they have all these other ghosts that are keeping this demon at bay.
Outside the window?
Right.
And the demon was asking for her to come outside?
Right. And if come and it could only come in like a vampire if it's asked.
Oh, creepy. Right?
The professor said that all the banging and everything in the house that had happened earlier, that was a warning from the good spirits.
Get the heck out.
Warning them that something was coming and not to.
That just gave me the shivers.
The professor also said, do not leave Lynn alone for 2 weeks.
Why for 2 weeks?
I don't know. Just said 2 weeks.
You can go for 13 days, but not 14?
Right. Well, it's at 14 days that, you know. Things can happen.
Were they thinking of going somewhere?
Anyway, so they didn't leave her alone. But during that time, everything seemed to calm down, but they never really felt safe in the house again. So after this experience with this evil spirit, the restaurant started to have problems.
Food poisoning?
No. Still had great food, but since it was way far in the country and people had to drive far to get to it, what happened in 1977?
Gas shortage.
Exactly. The energy crisis.
Yes.
The price of gasoline began to rise. Mm-hmm. And also, the house was so large, it was really difficult to heat also. So the heating bills were mounting up and the cost of operating the restaurant was just getting to be taxing.
And what year was this about?
78, 80.
That's what I thought.
So about early 80s is when this all happened. So the big thing that happened next that what really made them move is around Halloween, one of the radio stations, a popular broadcaster.
Do we know it? Do you know the name?
Jim White, KMOX.
Oh, yeah. KMOX. Yep.
Mm-hmm. KMOX Radio asked if they can do their annual Halloween Spooktacular live from the restaurant.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, come on over. But if you bring Ouija boards or seances, you won't be let in. You'll be asked to leave.
Let me take a guess.
Either somebody forgot about the ban or they just ignored it because somebody used a Ouija board.
Did they know who did that?
No. They said that because the Ouija board was used and then all hell literally began to break. A loud scream frightened the restaurant customers as the cooks ran from the kitchen. They were terrified at the sight of a green-faced, red-eyed creature that had suddenly appeared in their midst. And then the psychics that were there for the Halloween...
A green-eyed creature?
A green, red-eyed creature.
Okay. Oof.
Do you want me to read that again?
Yes.
Okay. Suddenly, a loud scream frightened the restaurant customers as the cooks ran from the kitchen. They were terrified at the sight of a green-faced, red-eyed creature that had suddenly appeared in their midst. Thankfully, there were psychics at this Halloween Spooktacular, and they immediately began to drive out the spirit.
I'd be afraid I'd pick up something.
They said after a while,
it was the herpes of the underworld.
Nobody wants a demon.
Well, right?
Sure, they're cute, but come on, they're hard to take care of.
Don't feed them after midnight.
You can't. Eventually, it was expelled. An order was done. They loved the house and the restaurant. They loved the business. They loved their staff and even the spirits they loved. But now that the costs, the work schedule, scary uncertainties of this evil spirit... Mm-hmm. They didn't think it was worth it.
So did they leave a sign on the door that said, sorry, no longer open for business due to green-faced, red-eyed monsters?
As time passed, things started to get a little weird around the house. And not like demon weird, but just strange, strange things would happen.
Like misplacing things?
No. Or... Well, one time, Mr. Elliot was in the basement at the bar. I believe he was serving drinks at the bar. And he suddenly felt that he was being taken over by one of the spirits.
Ooh.
He began to speak in an Irish brogue.
Queer, you aegis!
He danced a little Irish jig, drank a quart of Jack Daniels. I thought this was kind of funny. They said they even gave 4 rounds of drinks, which was very unlike him.
You're drunk!
Because if you're not paying for it,
exactly.
Why not?
4 rounds. By today's standards, that could be really pricey.
When Mr. McGhost pays for it,
Exactly.
It's an Irish ghost. Get it? I'm a ghost. You get it. Hello, Bueller.
He also said that somebody had sent for him and he got very defensive and he said, I'm not appreciated here. Anyway, so he left the Three Mile House and he went down the street to a bar that was playing rock music where he insisted
on playing the Pogues.
The Pogues weren't around. They were still in diapers, probably. Okay. So he went down the road to the bar where the band was playing rock music. He demanded that the band play something Irish. He bought everybody drinks.
Oh, yeah, that's a ghost for sure.
He did more jigs. He taught everybody at the bar an Irish jig. And honestly, he had never danced like that in his life. He drank another quart of Jack Daniels and ended up drunk at home, not remembering anything.
Likely story.
And from then on, he would occasionally, when he spoke, he would start speaking in an Irish brogue.
Do you want me to do that again?
No. I don't ever want you to do that again.
Okay.
He said he would mentally force the Irishman, who he would call him, to stop and like not take over his body.
Well, could you imagine? That would be kind of fun if you were a ghost. You know, you could get the energy up to be in human form and like do what you know what I mean? Right. Think about it.
Well, I'm kind of upset with the Irishman. I mean, he did Jack Daniels. You'd think he'd go for some better Irish whiskey than Jack Daniels, but whatever.
Maybe that's all they had.
So after all this happened, they had just been getting fed up with everything. There was tension, there was pressure, they were exhausted, the bills. Their friends said that the spirits actually drained all their energy and
probably did.
They just, you know,
it'd be very stressful.
They were just heartbroken. They had to leave the house and they knew it. They boarded up the 3 mile house and they had
moved 2 miles down and called it the
two mile house. They might have, or the negative 1 mile house. So they bought another house. And then the first night, Mr. Elliot couldn't sleep and he was thinking about everything.
Being
that
Irish
they
and going to the bar and getting drunk again.
He was thinking about all the work and everything that they had done to the 3 mile house and how he was going to miss it and all that kind of stuff. And he said, this is the honest to God truth. He says, I heard a familiar angelic voice.
Oh, she moved with him.
Whispered in his ear, don't worry, it's going to be all right. He's like, I didn't understand it, why everything had happened or why we lost the 3 mile house. But when I heard that voice, I broke into a huge smile, and for the first time in weeks, I slept a restful sleep.
Aww.
And then in March of 1985, the 3 mile house burned to the ground.
Was anybody living there at that time?
Nobody was.
Nobody moved in after the Elliots?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Cause of fire was never determined, but the building was completely destroyed.
And there's no electricity or anything in there, right?
Probably not.
If nobody's
I mean, it
lived
could have
there.
Been, but they redid all the wiring.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody's living there. It shouldn't even be turned on. Maybe the demons and the ghosts got in a fight and the demon won to
could
burn
be.
It down.
Or maybe Tom set it afire.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
They were safely, I mean, the house burned down, but they were safely
How many
out of
years
the house.
After that did it burn down after they moved out?
It doesn't quite say.
I was just wondering if like maybe that was part of it. Like they moved out because the ghost helped them move out because they knew it was going to burn down.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
But it's no longer there. There's not even anything.
We should venture out there sometime.
We
just
should.
Nose around.
I don't know if there's other buildings on that now because it's been what? In 1985 to now?
It's been a while.
A
lot of math is what that is.
It is a lot of math.
15 plus 18. 33.
30 something more. Something. It's been a while.
Can't get no past
really
those.
Smart. Well, that's the story of the 3 mile house.
I liked it.
Rarely ever gets spoken about anymore because...
Well, I guess because it's
gone.
Yeah.
But that's always been one of my favorite ghosty stories. And I know everybody... I love the Limp Mansion, too. That's nice and fun. There's some... The Limps were weird, but...
Yes. I concur.
Did you know Charles?
Not personally, no, but I had...
But when he died...
Multiple mutual friends. Yes. No,
but when Charles Limp died, he requested no autopsy be done and that his body not be prepared for burial. Nothing. That they were just claimed the body.
Okay. Why?
Never said. So his brother claimed the body and then buried them on some farm that they owned.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no record of any farm that they owned. So nobody knows where Charles Limp is buried.
Hmm. Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
But the not knowing where he is buried is kind of weird, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, wouldn't you?
Because they have a huge mausoleum in Bellefontaine Cemetery.
Yes, they do. We've been there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jen, that was a really, I was going to say, entertaining story.
Entertaining?
Entertaining.
Very
Sorry.
Cool.
Very interesting.
Well, awesome.
I love
Since
that
I spoke
stuff.
So much, I know it's, like I said, it's great. I love that story. Do you want to wrap it up and tell everybody where they can find us?
I never get to do that. I'm
I know
excited.
You always make me do it. So I've talked so much that I'm sure everybody's
you did well.
Tired.
Yes, you can reach us on Facebook. We are on Facebook. We try to get on there and update things, but usually we kind of forget. We have a Gmail account, and it's ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. We have a Blogspot page. You can hit us up at www.ourtruecrimepodcast.com. You can tweet us at Our True Crime Pod. You can catch us on all your favorite places you listen to podcasts. Please email Jennifer or direct messenger her on Twitter. She loves to stay in contact with people.
I love people to talk to. And I get bored and lonely. Call me, collect, whatever.
Exactly. I think that's it.
So anyway, everyone, happy Halloween. I hope you get scared tonight.
And be safe.
Or get lots of your favorite candy. What's your favorite candy, Camille?
Anything chocolate?
Mm,
I don't like chewy stuff. I don't like sour stuff. I don't like hard stuff. Just chocolate.
You don't like Dick Vane?
Never mind. Anyway, so great talking with you.
That was awesome.
Have fun. And remember, lock your doors, especially on Halloween night.
And keep passing those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya.
Look at your dog. What are you? Because you're making all this noise over there. You're doing all this stuff. You need to let go of the dog. It's a dog's life.
He won't go outside because it's raining.
Smart.
I think I was seven or eight at the time.
You already said that.
Well, you can edit it out.
Focus. Get off your phone.
I'm off the phone.
I know, but focus right now. Focus.
So it happened when I was 7 or 8, and I always thought it was Heidi.
The dog.
She was a little...
We don't need the description. Just keep going.
Yes, I do.
You do, but you do this, and then you ponder it, and then I have to edit it out.
She was a schnauzer. Well, so I was about 7 or 8.
Okay. 7 or 8. Were you about 8 or 9?
No, I was about 7 or 8.
Okay. In a house. It was a newly built house, and I had a room, and it was kind of dark. It was in the back of the house.
I was just hoping you'd edit all that crap.
I will. I was going to smush all that out, and you just...
Well, now you don't even have to. Now you can just, like, delete the whole thing.
Just start from the dog at your feet. It is not me, I swear to you. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I was about 7 or 8.
I was 7 or 8.
So we were living in a newly built house when I was around 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Our friendship is based with a ton of disrespect, community.
I know, I like that. It that way. I like it that way. Mm-hmm.